This coming Sunday will mark the 15th anniversary of 9/11. All this week, we'll hear voices reflecting on that nightmare day when 19 followers of Osama bin Laden boarded four planes and crashed them into the Pentagon, a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and New York's World Trade Towers. We'll hear from someone who survived the tower's fall, someone who lost a loved one in them, and today, a Muslim American. Now, when we look back at our coverage of the first anniversary in 2002, we were reminded that then-President George Bush was at the UN that week, making his case for war with Iraq. New Yorkers outside chanting, "Not in our name." Since then, Al-Qaeda has given birth to ISIS. How does one Muslim American reflect on the last 15 years? Linda Sarsour was born in Brooklyn to Palestinian immigrants. She's the executive director of the Arab American Association of New York and joins us by Skype. Linda, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, until last Friday, we understand there was additional anxiety because it was thought that a Muslim holy day would fall on 9/11.
Yes, I'm very grateful that that's not happening. Eid will be on Monday, September 12th, where the New York City public school system will also be recognizing those days.
Yeah, many school systems have that day off. Eid, a high holy day in the Muslim world. And the way it's determined is by a sighting of a new moon a certain amount of days before the holiday. And so, you know, people were very nervous up until this was determined this past Friday by leaders of the faith in Saudi Arabia. But why? What were you worried about?
I mean, I personally was encouraging my community to continue to celebrate Eid as any other year because Muslims deserve to be unapologetically Muslim in America and the land of religious freedom. But our community was worried about people saying that we were celebrating the horrific attacks of 9/11 15 years later. And we have already seen that happen. I mean, Donald Trump has taken many opportunities to say that on 9/11, that Muslims in places like New Jersey were celebrating, well, that was absolutely false and untrue, but people took it as fact. So people were worried about that. They were worried also about gathering in large groups, you know, outdoors and, you know, thinking about some of the recent acts of violence that maybe someone can come and incite some sort of violence against Muslims.
Well, and there have been recent attacks. There was an imam and his assistant assassinated, shot in the head in broad daylight in Queens. A non-Muslim has been arrested. And more recently, a woman was killed?
Yes, a woman from Bangladesh, 60-year-old Nazma Khanum, was stabbed to death walking home from work.
Yeah. So there was already a chill in the air. You were concerned that people would see you as celebrating on this somber, sacred day. Do you remember where you were on 9/11 15 years ago?
15 years ago, I was a college student at Kingsborough Community College in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. And my college professor was a very strict man who didn't allow us to use any type of electronics. But that morning, he answered his cell phone, which really made us uneasy. And he left the classroom and never came back. And when we walked out onto our college campus, it's right across from Manhattan, and we walked out to literally almost a shower of burned paper. And we were still confused and didn't know what happened. But I found out exactly what had happened when I got to my mother's house, where my mother was leaving to pick up my little brother from school. And my mother wasn't wearing her hijab. She was leaving the house, you know, with her hair uncovered. And I said, "Where are you going? You don't have your hijab on." And she said, "We can't wear it right now." And I was like, "What is this lady talking about?" Until I went inside and I sat down in front of the TV and I knew exactly what she was talking about.
What did you think when you heard that this horrific attack was done in the name of your faith?
At that moment, as a New Yorker, as someone who was born and raised in Brooklyn, I was already horrified at the act that happened. I was horrified by watching the images of people jumping out of buildings and all of the, you know, chaos that we saw and the loved ones crying over those that they lost. And then on top of that, I was horrified and scared for the backlash that was going to happen, because all I heard was Muslims, terror, Muslims, Islam, terror. And it was really a very hard time to think about that moment and who you were and how your Islam became kind of your frontline identity.
No. Did you know anyone who died?
I knew Salman Hamdani, who's the son of Talat Hamdani. He was actually an NYPD EMT who chose to go directly to be a rescue worker. And he actually died in the first few days after 9/11 as a rescue worker. But the media and the headlines connected Salman Hamdani as potentially somehow connected to the act of terrorism while he was an American hero. And that really made me realize that that's it. Even when we are helping our fellow New Yorkers, even when we are being whole Americans, that we are going to be somehow connected to this act until he was vindicated only months later.
Look, what do you make of what's happened since this mushrooming of a group determined, in the name of your faith? It's a hijacking of your faith, a corruption of your faith, but in the name of your faith, attacking the West, attacking Muslims as well. But what do you make of what's happened?
You know, Muslims are the largest victims of ISIS. And we didn't hear about ISIS 5 years ago. And I want people to understand that we cannot have a conversation just about ideology, that this is an ideological war between us and ISIS. And I think we have to understand that our foreign policy and the choices that we have made, including the war in Iraq, has created a breeding ground for these extremist and violent groups who target Muslims more than they target any other group.
What have you seen? Have you seen people, you know, maybe shy away from the faith, not to be associated with that day, embrace it more fully? What have you seen?
I mean, I've seen a spectrum. I've seen people become more religious and more connected to faith, believing that that is the only hope that we have as Muslim Americans living in America right now, 15 years after 9/11. I've seen women take off their hijab, feeling that their hijab was almost somehow impacting their security, that they weren't feeling safe wearing it, especially if people worked in the evenings or if they went to college and took night classes. For me personally, you know, as someone who is a nonprofit leader, is a community activist, is an organizer, I have chosen to be unapologetically Muslim. I've chosen to be a role model for young Muslim Americans. I was born and raised here. I deserve to be Muslim in this country. I have the right to be Muslim in this country. And I've chosen that. And it's not always easy. I personally have been attacked by the right wing. I have personally received death threats. I have personally received emails of people that are so hateful, that don't know anything about me, don't know me personally, but just the virtue of my faith, the virtue of me speaking out and saying that my community deserves to live with dignity and respect and in safety, has caused people to threaten my life. 15 years after 9/11 is way worse than even weeks and months and even the first few years after 9/11. And that really is what, for me, is the phenomenon, that this horrific act happened 15 years ago, that 3,000 of our fellow Americans died on that day. And 15 years later, not only have we not healed as a nation, but actually the backlash against Muslim has increased in the recent years.
And I just have to ask you, two Americans who say, well, there have been horrific attacks by Muslims in Orlando, you know, elsewhere. What do you say to them?
I say to my fellow Americans that we never put the responsibility on any other community when people and members of those communities commit acts of violence. You know, we've had mass shootings in this country, including at Planned Parenthood. We had a young white man who went into a church and massacred 9 black parishioners. We had a white man walk into a gurdwara and assassinate sick Americans, some of the most peaceful people in the world. And we never ask our fellow Christians or our fellow white Americans to stand up and condemn this type of violence. And for me, I want to condemn violence because I'm a human being. I don't want to condemn violence because I'm Muslim. And I think it's not fair to our young people that they continue to see leaders in the Muslim community apologizing for acts of violence that have absolutely nothing to do with our community. And if we continue to be in this particular mindset and marginalize Muslim Americans, what we need is for Muslim Americans to be integrated into the larger American society, because we are part of this country.
Linda Sarsour, Executive Director of the Arab American Association of New York. Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
And she mentioned the backlash against Muslims. There are reports of slurs flung at Muslim kids on football teams, attacks on mosques. In 2014, a man was arrested and charged with a hate crime after throwing a trash can at Linda and a colleague and chasing them, threatening to cut off their heads. Well, Linda's plans for 9/11 this year, on the 15th anniversary, she'll attend prayer services for the victims of 9/11 on Sunday, and the next day on Eid, attend more prayer services and then celebrate her faith.